Blog Amen. Talk Amen. Radio.
Amen. Last week we were in chapters. We went through how many chapters? 13, 14, 15, 16, right? And did we cover 17? Mm-mm. 13 through 16? Okay. So tonight we're going to start at 17. Tonight we're going to do start with 17. Chapter 17 through 20 in our Bibles.
Isaiah.
We're learning how to respond to prophecy. We know from our past studies, just to refresh ourselves, during the time we was the first through like the 12th chapters talk about the sins of Judah and Israel and the commission that God gave to Isaiah at the time that King Uzziah died. And God gave him a vision, showed him a vision of things that were about to happen to Israel because of their hard head and their stiff neck. Because of their disobedience. And not only that, they had turned away from God and started to serve the heathen gods or the other nations and the gods of the other nations. And so God began to deal with them with that. So tonight we're going to, we're starting out with our lessons from chapter 17, I think from 16 on, it starts, let me look over my lesson. From, we're talking about the judgment of God on the heathen nation. And see, God had, everything that God did was like twofold. And when sometimes God would do one thing to accomplish one or two purposes. And the amount of scripture says that, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord who are called according to his purpose. So sometimes he will allow you to go through calamities to get you in a place where he can use you. Amen? And so at this particular time, Israel had, they needed to be judged because of their disobedience and their hard-headedness, but he also needed to deal with the heathen nations. But first of all, he sent a word to them, warning them. And the Bible said warning comes before destruction, right? So when we study in the Old Testament, we discover the ways of our God and how he judged and how he dealt with his children in situations. And even in these times when we're going through something, we learn about our God and his true ways. And a lot of times we think, okay, well, this is the Lord, this is God, and he's not going to let this happen, not going to let that happen. Whatever it takes for God to get you back in line, that's exactly what he'll allow to happen. But he won't allow your soul to be destroyed. How many know that? Amen? Amen? Amen. You're covered, praise God. But he will get you back in line. So to this helps, we need to know the mind of God. And so we understand that Isaiah's cry was for Judah. And for Israel, Jerusalem, the northern and the southern kingdoms, because his cry was for them to come back to God. He only going to let you, like we say in the world, you can give a person so much rope, and then you got to draw them back in, because if you give them too much rope, they'll destroy themselves. And so they were all headed for destruction because they had started adopting the ways of the heathen gods around them. And that's kind of today. People call wrong right and right wrong, you know, whatever pleases the flesh, folk are doing it. So the office of a prophet, and this is what Isaiah was. He was a prophet, and a prophet, well, we know what a prophet is, someone who has the, I would say, the mouthpiece of God. He has the authority ordained and consecrated by God to speak for God, okay? Amen? So the office of a prophet was instituted during the time of Samuel, who was the last, he was last of the judges, that before the prophet, the judges. And so the function of the prophet was to speak to God And he stood with the priests as God's special. He was a special representative of God. So when the prophet spoke, the people listened because he had a word from the Lord. And it wasn't always a good word. Today, people want prophecies to say, oh, you're going to get a house, a car, husband coming, wife coming, you know, all kind of stuff. Your bank account is going to be full. You're going to look up one day and your bank account is going to be full. They want these ridiculous prophecies to come to them when they live in like hell. So separated from God till it's ridiculous. But they want to come. They want to go to a revival or to a meeting or to a church where the leaders are prophesying these lies to them, and they're emptying their pockets or their pocketbooks in the basket because this is what they want to hear. They have itching ears, and so the preachers are pleasing them. They're speaking to the people words that God has not spoken, and it's just to set them up. They don't even know that they're being set up. Hello. So I thank God, amen, that when a prophet when the prophecy comes, don't always expect it to be something good, but it'll be something to bless your soul, something to get you back on the right course. And it's time for the people of God to learn to stand in a holy place. It hasn't changed much. Just technology, that they didn't have technology back then, but we're more advanced than they are, but the sin is still the same. I didn't know the sin is just advanced. It's just still the same. And now it's technical sin. Hello. So it ain't no different than it was back then. Sin is sin. So the true prophets were not favored in those days, and they are not even in this day as well. Not a true prophet, one that's really speaking the word of God. A pastor in the church today represents a prophet. We got prophets and prophetesses and all these different labels, but the pastor over the flock is the one that God has set up to speak to his people. They sit in the place of a prophet. They are the mouthpiece of God, but the saints want to hear from everybody else but their own pastor. They sit up under their pastor, but if the pastor ain't saying nothing to appease their flesh, then they're going somewhere else to hear from somebody else. How many? And so these people have a commission. A pastor, what I call a prophet, tells the truth and he speaks the word of truth with boldness. He ain't taken down. And guess what? He's not trying to compromise. He won't compromise. Today in the house of God, there's so much compromising going on, and souls are being lost. People are dead. If you look out of your door, you see people walking up and down the street, you might as well see them on a demilitarized zone. Because the Lord was showing me that today in my prayer time. It's like these people that the saints are just watching and ain't saying nothing. The pastors are not preaching them the truth to them. And they're walking and they breathing, but they're dead. Because how many know when you separate from God, you're dead? That's what the Bible says. So they're dead men, slayed out on. This is our demilitarized zone. The street, the world, that's our demilitarized zone. That's what we fight at. Elder Marin is a soldier. He understands the DMZ zone. When you get out there, you better be ready to fire. Hello, somebody. And sometimes you have casualties. A lot of times, there are a lot of casualties. You step over dead bodies. And that's what the saints are doing today. The Christians are stepping over dead bodies. Come on. And so this is not what God is calling us to. And back in these days, and just like it is now, the warning signs have been given out to the house, but few people are taking heed. And the same way it was. That's what God said. Now he's going to say the remnant. And we know a remnant is a small amount of people. Hello? So God is going to save the remnant or the small amount. The true prophets, nobody likes somebody that's coming to tell them you lying. How about that? You know you lying. So you might as well be confronted with it so you can stop lying, start telling the truth. They don't want you to call a lie a lie. They don't want you to call sin sin. They want you to hop over everything. And so in the beginning of Isaiah's ministry, he was well liked by people, and I suppose they were caught up in the excitement of the move of God. They are seeing the hand of God or the move of God in a different way. Glory to God. Because God had Isaiah doing different things. Glory to God. But as time went on and he began to hit low, how many know, you know, just long as it's good and the Lord going to bless you and hallelujah, glory to God. And God say you coming out and all this kind of stuff. Everybody running around the church. As soon as you say, repent. Hello? The Lord says, stop sinning, come out of sin. You start hitting low, then people don't like you no more. Huh? Now you come to church and see an echo. You hear, you walk in, you can say like Carson does when he go hiding in the garage, hello, hello, hello. You hear, you can say hello, and you hear it back after you. Why? Because folk don't want to hear the truth. And I don't want nobody to watch me go to sin, and I'm sitting in the church, and you watch me keep sinning and sinning on my way to hell. I'm praising God and doing all this other stuff, but I'm living like hell. But you my leader. You're supposed to lead me into the presence of the living God. You can't lead me. I don't care if I don't like it. Tell me now. You don't tell me and I die in my sins. Your blood, my blood is on your hands. That's what the Bible says. People ain't telling nobody that. If you don't tell a person that sin is sin and you're living and you're doing wrong and they keep on in their mess and you don't bring them out of it and it was wrong, God said when they die in their sins, their blood is going to be required to you. I thought about that thing many years ago. I don't care if you don't like me. I don't want to be your friend anyway. I want to bring you deliverance. I want to be the one to help you. Hello. Glory to God. So if you get worried about your soul, you want to hear good prophecy. You want to hear a good word. You want to hear that that's wrong. Get it together. So he started out like that, and everybody liked him. So Isaiah called the people to turn their lives, turn from their lives of sin, and he warned them that God's judgment and his punishment was going to come. Now, God said the judgment is going to start in the house of God. And I see this every day. People don't even notice that God is judging the house of God. But he is. And people say, oh, folk don't come to church and they don't this and that and the other. Why? Because people don't have a desire, that hunger and that thirst for God ain't there no more. That's judgment. People see their sins and they don't want to be caught up in holiness no more. They want to go out there and go to hell in a hand and in a Rolls Royce. They want to go out there and do their thing until they're on their way to hell. They don't want to live holy and live right no more. These things are happening. It's going to be a great separation. And this is what's going on. So when the prophecy, we need to learn when we read the scriptures. We need to learn when we hear the preacher preaching the word of God, not nonsense. Hello. Not how to get prosperity, because the Bible says, if you remember the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, if you remember the Lord thy God, it is he that give you power to get wealth. So all this other stuff they teaching you about a prosperity blessing plan ain't going to save your soul out of hell. It ain't going to give you a relationship with God. You need a relationship with the Father. Am I right about it? And so this is what he told Moses way back when. I want you to build the tabernacle so that I can come down and dwell with my people. That's his desire. And when Jesus came on the scene, he took the tabernacle from being a tabernacle built by the hands of man, but the hands that God made, that the bodies are now, we are the tabernacle, and God wants to come and dwell and have fellowship within us, but he can't because our tabernacles are so full of sin. And he's trying to get us to clean it up so he can come and live within us. So Isaiah's ministry lasted, amen, 6 years until God executed during his judgment during the reign of Manasseh. It was time. Isaiah was God's special messenger, the messenger to Judah. He prophesied during the reign of most of the kings that were with Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah. He was called for Judah and Israel, but he told the people around him to repent. Even though God sent him just for those, he still told everybody else, it apply to you too. Church folk think repentance to us, but to the world too. Take what you get and take it to the world and tell them, you need to repent and receive Christ. Glory to God. We don't beat them over the head and all this kind of stuff. Just way to handle anybody, but at least open your mouth and tell them. Don't just sit there and grin and bear it. Well, you know. So when we're in the last chapters, we're coming to a clearer understanding. So while we're studying the book of Isaiah, this is going to give us a picture of the judgment of God. The first 39 chapters in the first half of Isaiah carries the message of judgment for sin. And somebody turn the air conditioner on because there's nothing blowing over here. And he brings this message to Judah, Israel, and to the surrounding communities. The people of Judah had a form of godliness. That's kind of the same thing we're doing today. The church today has a form of godliness. If you don't worship the way I want you to worship, you ain't in the building that I want you in. If you ain't wearing what I want you to wear, hello, you ain't saying what I want you to say. Forget about what the Bible says. I put up my script, and this is what you say. That's a form of godliness, but they're not worship him according to knowledge. And this is the same thing that's going on today. They had a form of godliness. Their heart was so far away from him. God said, in glory to God, in the book of Numbers, he said, my people worship me with their lips, but their heart is so far away from me. That means you can say, I love the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, all you want with your lips, and God hear that, oh well, but he's looking in your heart, and your heart is a mess. It's wickedness within you. You're just going through the motion because the praise leader say hallelujah, say hallelujah. Praise leader say glory to God, glory to God. The praise leader say clap your hands, you clap your hands. The praise leader say jump up and shout, you jump up and shout. That's a robot. That's not worship. All you're doing is you're being prompted to make yourself known and seen before the people. But that's not worship to God, because worship is free will. If nobody's singing, you are singing and glorifying God. You ain't sitting up here watching the praise leaders or watching the one that's glorifying God. You're getting into the glory of God yourself. So people have to get a form of worship. And see, Israel lost that, and the church today has lost that too. Because if the church did not lose the form of worship that the Bible talks about, because Jesus, God said that my praises, I inhabit the praises of my people. And when the people begin to praise God with their whole heart, God comes to dwell and live within those praises. If you praising God just because somebody told you, guess what? God ain't coming there. You on your own. You are by yourself. Hello. You just out there on limbo. So you just doing something, you just following the motion. But if your heart is worshiping God, is so open to receive of God, then God is present with you because you allowed him entrance into your heart, into your inner man. He's taken and consumed your mind. You're not saying, I can't wait till they get through. Lord, I'm just tired of this. All they're doing is talking. Well, help them get through singing. You're not talking like that, but it's real. And God comes and dwell in that kind of worship. So we need to be sure that we take heed, and we need to follow prophetic warnings and signs. Now, let us not get in the church and Bible study and Sunday school and just say he taught a good lesson or she taught a good lesson or he preached a good word or whatever the case may be and walk out and forget all about it. That's just like you look in your face in the glass and you walk away and don't even remember what you look like. Hello? You can't draw yourself just from memory. You can't. You got to be constantly looking in the mirror. And that's why we have to constantly look in the Word of God, because the Word of God represents a mirror. The Bible says it's just like a looking glass for us. When we look in the Word of God, we're supposed to see ourselves and be able to make a change. Huh? You look in the mirror, your hair's all knotty, you comb it, I hope. Huh? Your face all messed up, you try to wash it and put a little makeup on, make it look good. These are things you do because why are you beholding your face in a glass? The same way with this mirror here. When you see yourself in this mirror, then you're supposed to make a change. When you open the Bible and you see yourself and you say, oh, you know, that sound like something I did. Or that sound like me. You saying this to yourself. You say, Lord, help me make a change. And you start moving toward change. You can't stand up there in the mirror and say to the mirror, I sure hope my face looks better. I sure hope my hair get combed. And don't ever pick up a comb and comb your hair. Right? So you got to make a move, glory to God. When you say to the Lord, I repent of my sins, repent means to turn away from something, then you got to actually physically turn. Hello? And the Bible said we're going to have to give an account of every idle word that's uttered from our mouth. If anything you speak from your mouth is not conducive to holiness or to righteousness or to a move in God, you're going to have to give account. Everything we say is written down. Hello? Moving toward nothingness. Running around, and that's what the saints are there doing, running around so busy doing nothing. Busy accomplishing nothing. But when they need something, Lord, can you pray for me, Pastor? Can you pray for me? But when they need to move in God, they ain't doing nothing. Well, I was too busy. What were you doing? Well, I'm busy doing nothing because they can't even think of what they were doing. What did it accomplish? What area were you moving in? So in the 17th chapter, and they're short, and like I said, you guys were supposed to read ahead, so I'm not going to read the scriptures. But verse 1, I'm going to touch a scripture here and there. Verse 1 and verse 17 says, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, this, we're still dealing with vision. Isaiah's talking here, but he's telling them the vision that God gave him. Now, somebody done told you, you're living in Damascus, and somebody told you the Lord say it's going to be a ruinous heap. What you going to do? Hello? It was the elder move. Something? If you don't move yourself, you're going to move something. You're going to try to fix, see what's going on. How can I fix this situation? I'm not going to stay here until the walls close in on me or until it collapses. Hello? So if I'm in a place that I should not be in, that means I got to seek God to move to a better place. Hello? So the northern kingdom and Syria made an alliance. They made an alliance to fight against Assyria. But Tiglath-Pileser III captured Damascus. The city of Syria in 732 B.C., Damascus was the capital of Syria, and so he captured them, and he joined the northern kingdom to the Assyrian Empire. That's Judah and, Israel and Jerusalem. He joined them to the Assyrian Empire. The king there was Ahab. He was the king of Judah. Then he paid tribute to Tiglath-Pileser III when he visited the Assyrian king in Damascus. Whatever it takes. I got to buy my enemy. That's what I'm going to do to keep them off of me. As I already told them. Damascus was taken away from being a city. When what I see, I don't care what you do. You can pay. You can buy. But guess what? Damascus is going. This is the prophetic word from the Lord. So we go to verse 11. In the day, he said, in the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. God's message to Damascus is that they will be completely destroyed. The Syrians had turned from God who could save them. You walking with a God that created the heavens and the earth, that made you, that has all power in his hands, and you're going to turn away from him? So depending on their idols and their own strength, they thought they can do better than God. And a lot of times people make that same mistake today. They won't seek God for help because in order to get God to move for you, you got to get in right standing with God. I'm sorry. The Bible said God here is not a sinner's prayer. If you want salvation, he'll save you. But he ain't finna fight for you. You're not his. You're not his child. You serve the devil, who is your father. Call on him. And so they turned away from God, and they started serving, calling on these idol gods and their neighbors for strength. So no matter how successful they were, God's judgment was going to happen, is for sure. Isaiah said, I don't care if y'all keep winning. Looks like the enemy. And sometimes we get in a predicament when it looks like the enemy is winning. And sometimes it looks like we're winning. We think we're doing okay. We're separated from God. There are people out there. I mean, no people out there that have plenty of money, living like hell, running the church, living in the house of God, pretending they're so saved, and they look so successful. But I promise you, just like in the day of Assyria, no matter how successful they are, God's judgment is sure. The judgment of the Lord is going to be revealed on them. We oftentimes depend on the trappings of success, that like expensive cars. I got a nice car, and we call ourselves successful. In our pastimes, we start talking about the nice clothes that we wear, the big fine homes that we live in, and we call ourselves successful, and so we use that to give us fulfillment. You can't have fulfillment outside of God. I don't care how many things you have. Jesus said moth and rust is going to corrupt them. They're going to be destroyed eventually. How many know if a car set up long enough, it's going to rust, it's going to fade away, your clothes going to get rotten, and they're going to tear up, and your house going to cave in one day. But people look to those things for fulfillment. So God says that he's going to heap up grief and pain, he says, if we depend on the temporary things. We can't trust in the things. The Bible says, cursed is the man who put his trust in man, in things. We put our trust in our finances, in our work, in our jobs, because we got a job, oh, I'm on now, and then we walk away from God. People come to the church and they pray for God to give them a blessing with a job as if they're fooling God, because he's already in their future and he already knows that when they do find work, they ain't coming back no more. Hello? He already knows that. And so they get these jobs and God bless them, and then you don't see them no more in the house of God till they need prayer again. Oh, all hell break loose, they lose the job or something happened, and now they're in the house of God for prayer again. Where were you when you were walking in financial increase and bounty? Now that you're down low and you don't have anything, you're calling on the Lord now? Where were you when you were up high? So they were trusting in things. They trust in a job. And them folk alive look, get up one morning on the wrong side of bed and come in there and fire everybody in your department. Shut it down. Hello. Because they got up on the wrong side of the bed and you put your trust in that. Your trust has to be in the Lord. Because they will mistreat you on that job and you put your trust in God and put him first. They can't mistreat you. God won't allow them. I don't care how bad it get on that job. You will be the one that stand out, the one that all the bad stuff go around you. God will hold your place and advance you because you put him first. I can't get people to see that. Can't get them to understand that because he blessed you with a job. You still got to put him first. Well, you're out of job. Okay, now I got my job. I got what I wanted. Okay, see you later, God. Or I got my finances all right. Now I'm okay, God. And you know, you done increased my finances. I don't need you no more. Come on, people. So you have to keep going on because these won't fulfill us. There's going to always be an empty void there. There's nothing that can get in the place of God. So God says he will reap grief and pain if we do that, if we allow temporary things that on this earth to try to give us eternal security. How you going to have eternal security in stuff? You made this stuff with your hands. You may not be bowed down to prayer to it every day, but you love it so much till, you know, and you may not be the one that made that car, but it was made by the hands of man. So you may as well have made it because he's your God. Huh? So there's no blessings, there's no security, there's nothing in things. If we don't want the same treatment that Damascus got, we have to turn from all these false allurements or enticements that pull us away from God and put our trust totally in him. Just like God sent the word to Isaiah, put this stuff away. Tell them, people, that all this stuff, I done put up with this stuff long enough. And I believe the Lord has put up with us long enough with this nonsense. Hello. Then start bringing it in the house of God. It's a certain way we look, certain group of people we hang out with now in the house of God. It's a certain way we dress now. It's a certain way we act. Everybody got to ride in this kind of car. And if your house ain't up to par, we bring all this nonsense in the house of God, and it ain't benefit nothing to nobody. Nobody getting saved from it. People are feeling inferior because they feel like they can't live up to your standards because they can't buy the clothes you wear. They can't ride in the car like you're riding in. Their house don't look like yours. So they feel inferior to you. You're not supposed to do that. That is not godly. Hello? So let us back up to verse 8 in chapter 17. It says, and he shall not look at the altars, the work of his hands. Hello? Neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. And back then, they had, you know, like the trees, of what we call the little forest or whatever, were called the groves. And they would worship that. They made their gods as big as they wanted. And, the pharaohs and the kings thought they was gods. And so they would make images of themselves. And this is what they worshiped. Hello. And so he said, no, y'all can't do that. That's wrong. Because one of the first commandments he gave when he brought them out of Egypt was what? The very first commandment. Anybody know? No other God. Bless you. You know. Hallelujah. 1 point for y'all. No other God. So we know this, and people don't even care. They don't care. They don't even care. What kind of word is that, Pastor? They don't. It's like, whatever, I'm going to do what I want to do. A lot of the images were, in those days, were Asherah. She was one of the images. She was considered a Canaanite goddess, goddess of the sea. And she was, back then when they talked about her, they considered her, they say just the female Baal and the male Baal. Well, she was considered to be the companion or the wife of Baal. Queen Jezebel, they say, may have been the one that brought the worship of Asherah to the northern kingdom of Israel and Judah during her reign, her time of reign. So this cult, now this is a cult, influenced immoral sexual practice, and it drew people to the God and away from our God, the living God. Because like I said, people love things that pleasure their flesh. They love things that make them feel good. Huh? How many know in God you ain't gonna always feel good? You just gotta know this thing in your mind and in your heart that God is with you. It may not be pleasurable. Like we feel that we have to have pleasure in our bodies and stuff, and we have to feel this. So this type of thing drew people to this god, Asherah. And so the Bible warns us against worshiping that type of spirit. And we have that today. They don't call it Asherah or Asherim, or it's nothing like what it is back in those days, but it's the same thing. People steal pornography, they're trapped with pornography, sexual impurities and sexual lusts and desires for the wrong things. They are there. Images of Asherah is not a problem for us. We didn't build people's houses. You don't know what people got in their houses. So some people do worship statues, but we don't have that. But it's not literally, you can't see it, but it's in the heart. And how many know Jesus said, whatever's in a man, whatever you think is, whatever he thinks in his heart, feel in his heart, he might as well be it. That's him. That's you. Whatever's in your heart is you. That's you. And so some people have that type of thing in their heart. They have these desires and this lust of the flesh and the desire, the pride of the eye. They have this thing on the inside, and it may as well be Asherah, the God, because they have those lustful things. Pornography is an addiction to a lot of people. A lot of people are addicted to watching pornographic movies, reading pornographic stories, watching pornographic TV. That's the same thing. It's the same spirit. Remember Isaiah said, I was set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's wickedness. Why? Because the eyes are the key to your soul. Whatever you see gets into your spirit, your solacarim. Then you start tasting it and desiring it and wanting it. And so now you want to touch it, you want to feel it, because now your senses are awakened, because you let your eyes envision that. All we have to do is stop. Hello? The media, even our commercials. Remember the time I told you about that commercial I was looking at? This car commercial, I didn't even know it was a car commercial. Took me about 3 tries to realize it was a car commercial, because all I saw was this lady with this red dress flipping over the car. And her dress was all up in the air, and she, you know, all like she making love to the car. And I didn't get it. So when I saw it about the 3rd time, I said, let me see what this commercial is. And I sat right there. I said, oh, my goodness, they're selling a car. So they don't care, because they know how to get to the people. They know the desires of the people. And that's what Satan does. He messes with our flesh. And that's why the Bible says we have to die daily. Paul said, if you're in Christ, then you're dead to sin. You are dead to the flesh. If your flesh don't die, and you can't just walk around and don't come to church and don't read your Bible and say, well, okay, I'm going to kill my flesh, that won't work, because, see, you don't have nothing to convict you. There ain't nothing on the inside of you that's going to tell you that's wrong, because you don't even go to church, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, and you don't have the Holy Spirit. So how are you going to know it's wrong? Because the flesh is happy with it. So whatever's happy in the flesh, you're going to do it. Am I right about it? So you have to understand that those addictions are alive in the movies and the commercials. They feed on them. Our society is sexual obsessed, and that's it. That's bottom line. Even with the little babies, they make them a sexual figure. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's weird. And Jesus already said, whatever you do to the least of my little ones, it's like you're doing it unto me. Who see Jesus as a sexual attraction? Raise your hand real quick. So whatever you're doing to the least of his little ones, that's him. People don't understand this is what you're doing to the Savior, messing with his children, messing up his little kids. Wow. So this strong desire for stimulation and gratification of the sexual kind usually comes from a person who has an empty heart and lonely heart. They're empty and they're lonely. They need something. And this is when you need to seek God like he's better than who? What's your favorite food? Huh? Fried chicken? Pizza? Black-eyed peas? Spaghetti? Seek him like it's something good to eat because you need him filled on the inside of you so much so that your desire for that other stuff won't supersede your desire to please God. If you don't do that, you fall weak, and you can't. You won't be able to stand in your flesh. You can't do it. There's no power. You have no power over the enemy. Amen? And so we have to allow ourselves to be submitted unto God. We got to be on the alert. Because sexual images, they're set up to do exactly what they're set up to do. Take your mind off of God. They will divert you away from God. And that's not what you want to do. That's why the Bible says watch as well as pray. Watch means be alert. When you see that mess, turn away from it. But we're so nosy and so inquisitive. We say inquisitive. We nosy. We want to see everything. We want to know everything. We want to hear everything. And some things are not for us to know. Or hear, taste, and touch. Don't touch that thing. That thing hot. How many of babies do that? They're looking to see who's looking, and now they're reaching all at the same time. Or they got an itch over their body. Just say, don't touch it. Then they itch over their body. Next thing you know, their little hands. It's killing them. They got to touch it. Why? Because you said, don't touch it. And that's the way our flesh is, and the devil know that, and he plays us in our flesh. Because God said, thou shalt not, and the devil said, your flesh want to do it, so I'm going to make it easy for you. Hello? So he makes it easy for you. Okay. Any questions on 17? In chapter 18, huh? I don't want to move too fast. 17 was a prophecy against Assyria, And this is what the Lord was saying was going to happen to Syria. Even though, now remember now, we don't forget that he was using them to destroy the northern kingdom of Israel and Jerusalem, except for the remnant, the few that's going to serve him. He was going to use them to wipe them out, but they were going to be punished too. That's why I say, if somebody come against you and do you wrong and then rejoice, nah, 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 look what I did with too, Brother Chuck, nah, nah, look what I did to Lily, bye, and you know, I did this, and the Lord allowed them to touch you because you hard-headed and he want to get you back in line, but they're rejoicing about it, look out. God, don't play. Hello. He may use your enemy to get you in line, but your enemy better not brag about it because they didn't do it in their own power. They did it because God allowed them to do it. Ah, and then he's going to turn around and destroy them. Okay, now he's in line now, so I'm going to destroy you. And that's the God that we serve. This is what he did for the enemies of Israel and Judah. The same love he had for them, he had for us. He's going to do the same thing for you and me. Your enemy come against you, he's going to be utterly destroyed, but God going to let him work with you a little bit first. He's going to let him play with you a little bit, bounce you around, you know. Till you get yourself, oh, Lord, let me get back in line with God. Then he's going to destroy him. How about that? Amen. So we have to give him honor and praise. And so we have a prophecy against Ethiopia. In chapter 18, verse 1, he says, woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the river of Ethiopia. Now, I don't read all these scriptures because everybody's supposed to read ahead, and we already know this. So in verse 1, this prophecy was probably given in the days of Hezekiah. Remember Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19 and 20. The Ethiopian king had heard that Assyrian's great army was marching south toward them. He sent messengers up the Nile River, all right, in Africa, asking the surrounding nations to come and help them out. Let's form an alliance. Let's all come together because y'all know Assyria is bad. They don't play, right? They were the toughest. So we got to get some help. Now look at this. Instead of saying, let's go pray, let's seek the Lord. Remember what Elijah said to God, show him, open his eyes so he can see that the army that's fighting, I'm paraphrasing, fighting for us is bigger than even their army. So the army that fight for us is uncountable. When God dispatched the angelic host, you can't lose with the stuff we use. Hello, somebody? I like when Elder Marion always said, you know what, being the Holy Ghost will knock you flat. I might be old. What you tell her grandson, but me and the Holy Ghost will knock you out. Don't play with me. Hello? Him that fight with us? You don't want to mess with a saint. I don't care how old they are. Because when they draw back, the Holy Ghost slap him. Praise the Lord. So here we find that he sent messengers up the Nile asking all the people around them to come and help them, to join with them, to form an alliance so that they can go against them. And so they even went to Judah. But here go Isaiah. Isaiah told Judah to go home. Oh, then I called the Judah up front. He said, y'all go home because you don't need them people to defeat the Syrians. God is going to fight for you. All you need is God. How many know that? I don't need to go get no alliances, go get my cousin, uncle, auntie, because somebody jumped me. I'm going to tell the Holy Ghost. I'll let God deal with you. I'm going home and go to bed. Hello. I hear Ella Marin always tell, she say, I'm going to leave you in the hands of the living God. You don't want to be left in the hands of the living God. Your enemy don't want to be left in the hands of the living God. Sometimes you can't fight. And see, the things that some saints mess up, we have that worldly attitude, or they have that worldly attitude where they want, you hit me, I hit you back. You don't know me, I lay down my religion. You never had any. You're religiously a liar because you've never been, sanctified. The sanctified people don't talk like that. Huh? Because there's a change in me. I'm born again. And then Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You may or may not turn the other cheek, but you know what? People say, well, I don't know how that's going to come out. I may or may not turn. I say that too. But you know what? You'll find out when it happens. You will, and you'll be so surprised that you can turn the other cheek. Nobody never hit me, though. But I turned the other cheek in a lot of situations. Hello? And you said, no, I was supposed to say something about that. You walk it away thinking, you know what, Lord, I thank you. I'm so glad I didn't, open my mouth. But I was supposed to say something. And I did it. Hello? But you didn't. You did just what you were supposed to do was exactly what you did. Be quiet. And let God handle your battle. Amen? And so Judah wanted to join them, but Isaiah said, no. It's in God's timing. You may want to come out of whatever it is that you're going through right now, but how many know it's in God's timing? Amen. Stop going to mama looking for help. Stop going to daddy trying to get help. The loan officers. Come on. Your cousin, your auntie, sister, whoever else that you go through, the pastor, the bishop, stop going to them trying to get help and be still and say, Lord, okay, here I am. What is it that you're trying to show me? And most of the time, you already know. All you got to do is get in line. Just line up. Amen? Because it's in his timing. He'll bring you out when he's ready, when he feels that you've already gotten to the point where now you can walk without me holding your hand. You know how babies staggers when they first start walking? You got to be there. And when they fall, you got to pick them up again. And so now God is trying to get us to the point where we can walk without holding his hand. And see, now Israel Jerusalem and even Judah could not walk without holding God's hand, because as soon as he turned their hand loose and tried to let them walk on their own, they're over there in Baal and Asherah territory. Now all in knees worshiping them things. And all he did was turn away for a second. So he got to always keep his hands on us. And now Apostle Paul said, I can't even give y'all strong meat yet, because when I try to take away the milk and give you strong meat, y'all start fighting against each other like little kids. I'm Paul, I'm hit your back. You hit me, I hit your back. That's our church folk here. Like little kids. Carrying on like little children. Some of the phone calls I get, I'd be like, okay. You don't even want to answer. Because it's time at one point, what point in your life, in your walk in Christ, do you grow up? What point? You got to have a point in your life where you got to say, you know what? I am mature. I've been in this thing almost all of my life, at least half of it. By now, I ought to know better than this. Huh? When you become an adult, Like the Apostle Paul said, you stop doing childish things. You don't play jackstones and shoot marbles, which y'all never did. I'm talking about, I'm dating myself. Some of y'all probably don't even know what a jackstone is or a marble. But for us older people, we put away those things. Y'all know what a jump rope is, right? Double dutch and all of that. Do y'all do that? It's kids that they don't go outside of the marriage. They don't even know what it means to be outside on the sidewalk doing double dutch and, oh, Lord help. Our kids are so unhealthy, our grandchildren. What is up with this? Get outside. I'm telling you. Cell phones. You can't jump and get physical with a cell phone. I don't know, virtual jumps. Lord help these children. But you gotta be out there. And you gotta move. You gotta get yourself out there. So God moves in his own timing. And God's timing, how many know it's better than ours? Because see, we're the ones that have time, live in time, and God don't. Because he's already in our future, he's in our past, and he's in our present. So we're the only ones that have time. We got so much time here on earth, and after that, we go on to be with the Father. So we have only so much time here. God is here forever. He's here in eternity. The only time we get to eternity when we leave these bodies and go to our new body, our transformed body. Then we go to eternity to be with God. But on this side, we only have a little while here. And the thing is, he told us to occupy until he comes. That means live a good, godly life. Don't just be taking up space. Don't be sitting idle doing nothing. Enjoy it. God made this earth so pleasant for enjoyment. We destroy it. We hoard it up. We was talking about, nobody owns this earth. It belongs to God. And we got people that put down flags talking about this is my land. Hello. That's how it started. They just go into a place, put down a flag, and from here to here, this is all my land. Your land. It belongs to the Lord. He lent this whole thing to us. This whole earth is lent to us to enjoy, not hoard it all up for ourselves. If I got too much, then you got to have it. Let me cut my land in half so I can give this one some. They can have a place. People got acres and acres of city acres, acres bigger than a city, of nothing. And there are folks that don't have a place. You think they won't be held accountable for that? Oh, yeah, they will. That right there is idle. That's idleness. They got land sitting idle that people can use, homeless people, and money to build them a house, and they won't. Oh, yeah, that's idleness. And so to verse 3, let's skip to verse 3. He says, all ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye, when he lifted up an ensign on the mountains and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. This is a call. When he blow the trumpet, who knows what it means to blow the trumpet? When Bishop blow his shofar, what does that mean? Time to worship. That changes the atmosphere. Remember whenever Israel went to war, they blew the shofar for a certain time. When it was time to stop, they blew the shofar a certain way. Time for worship, they blew the certain sound. Every sound they knew when the shofar was blown, they knew exactly what to do. When the shofar is blown or when the trumpet is sounding, when the word of God is sounding, when the praises of God are sounding, the people ought to know what to do. The sound of war, the sound of peace. The sound for rest, the sound to move, the sound to stop. There is a sound. Hello? And so God sent a call out to the nations to watch for the signal for the Ethiopians to fall. Watch for the signal. When you hear the trumpet, what he's saying? And ye inhabitants of the world, dwellers of the earth, see ye, when he lifted up the ensign to the mountains, and when he bloweth the trumpet, hear ye. In other words, be alert. Some people are not alert. Sit in God's house, preaching, and they fall asleep. And you want to go hit them upside the head because they're sleeping. Why are you preaching? The trumpet is being blown. That's the word. The trumpet is being blown, and so you got to hear. Stay attentive, all ye nations, because Ethiopia is about to fall. Your enemy is about to come down. But you're so busy, caught up in, you know, like, oh, man, I'm so tired or whatever. And thinking about, you know, Miss Sally or Mr. Bobby outside or whatever the case may be. But Ethiopia had been summoning other nations to join in their alliance against Assyria. But God, at this time, Isaiah was showing them that God is going to put a stop to this. They're going to attempt to take over the world. Hello? Assyria is going to attempt to take over because they're bad. They was tough. And they thought they was like, okay, I done took the northern kingdom, headed for the southern kingdom. Man, we bad. We bad. They say the baddest army, Elder Marin, in the world is the United States. Supposedly. There's some secret armies out there. I don't know. I'd be afraid to touch some of them. Because we're so free and open, people can come over here and start up a war in our neighborhoods, recruit the enemy, be right here amongst us, and we don't know it because we just let folk come in and do what they want to do in this nation. Hello. So Assyria thought, okay, you know, we bad. We're gonna take this whole world. Look what we done conquered. We're supposed to be the children of God. We're supposed to be so powerful. But guess what? God is going to do exactly what he told his prophet he was going to do. Look out. When God told me, say, tell them, I said, keep their eyes on the sky. Because I'm coming soon, people better quit playing. And they better keep their focus on God. Hello. Because he is soon to come. There ain't no game playing, no time for playing games. Keep your eyes on the sky. That means keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep looking up. Keep looking up and seeking. You're seeking God. Get your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn to make some changes. Turn your life around from where the way that you was going. Turn it back to the Lord and do double time. When they say when you're racing, they say, oh, you got to speed up. You got to do double time now. You better pick it up. We need to pick it up a notch. The church need to pick it up a notch. Because the Lord is soon to come. We need to pick it up. We need to step up a notch. The whole church of the living God all over the world need to step up a notch. I sit and I listen to preachers on television and on the radios, and I'm hearing some of the stuff they're preaching. And I'm like, whoa, why would you tell them that? Why would you say that? Why would you tell a person it doesn't matter, you know, how you live? You know, once you get saved, you always saved. That's not what the Bible tells me. That is not eternal security. But it sounds good. People like that. So now they can doubt they're still doing the mess they're doing and thinking they're going to make it in, and then they don't make it in, and now their blood is on your hand. The Bible said, God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God, Jesus told Nicodemus, and the only way you're going to receive the kingdom of heaven is you got to be born again. So was that just for Nicodemus or for us? You got to be born again. You got to have a relationship. The Bible says sin separates us from God. I'm going to be walking around committing the same sins I commit every day and think I might have a walk with God. He said, when you pray, your prayers are hindered, because when you pray amiss. I got all this stuff going on. Fornicate, lying, cheating, stealing, drug addiction, all this other stuff. And you think I'm going to have an audience with God. Don't let them people fool you. Don't let them fool you. Holiness is still the same, because the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness don't mean still doing your own thing. And I don't care what they say about eternal security. You better keep your eyes on the skies and keep your connection with God. They tell people that so they can keep coming to their churches and keep bringing their offering. But they need to know that sin is sin. Hello, a lie is a lie. Dirt is dirt. You can't pick up dirt and change it to nothing. It's dirt. But they're telling people that. Eternally secure. I don't want you telling me that. Don't tell me no lies like that. I don't want you telling me that nonsense. Tell me the truth. That's not what the Bible says. Prove it to me in the Bible. We're under grace. Yes, we're under grace. And thank God for his grace. It was grace that raised Jesus up from the grave and set him at the right hand of the Father. And that Apostle Paul said he's making intercession for us. Why is he there making intercession? Because our flesh is already a mess. And I'm a willfully sin. In Hebrews chapter 10 and 24, he said we willfully sin. There's no more salvation for us. So what is he telling me? He said, just like you just turned your back on God and just walked away and just kicked them, like spit on them, kicked them to the curb. Why are they telling people it's okay? You're okay. No, you're not okay. And you need to get as close to God as you possibly can. Because the Bible says holiness without. You got to be holy. You got to do everything you can to be holy. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks, God says, stand on a holy place. How are you going to stand on a holy place sitting up in the bar? What's holy about smoking on dope and sipping on alcohol, tearing your body down, destroying the temple of God? What's holy about that? Fornicating and lying with a man or woman, or woman or woman, a man, doing things with your body that you should not do. What is holy about that? Holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. So you have to make sure that without a doubt, you got to know that. That's why you got to study. The Bible says study to show yourself the proof so that you can rightly divide. People are going to tell you something because they want your pocketbook. But you got to be the one to rightly divide. Your soul is the one soul that you are responsible for. And if nothing else happens, you ought to make sure that that one soul is in line with God. And I don't care if I feel like I got to roll around the church from one end to the other. What is it to you? What does it take for me to stay holy and stay right with God? What is it taking off of you? Nothing. Hello. So you're not internally secure if you're walking in sin. You got to be born again. You got to consecrate on making changes in your life to have a relationship with God, because God can't look on us in our sin. He has no part with sin, uncleanness. So don't be fooled by good talking and sweet words. Amen? So then Isaiah went on to prophesy against Egypt in lesson 19. If we rush through 11 through 15 and pull all those scriptures together, Egypt was noted for its wisdom. But now all of the wise men around that time and the princes were being deceived and they were foolish. Like we're going on today, people are being deceived. Hello. Real true wisdom can only come from God. You can't go read, you know, I don't care if you have a doctor's degree in audiology, whatever, okay, theology, bibliology, Bibleology, whatever you want to call it. I don't care if you have a doctor's, a master's, doctor's, or whatever, the highest, as high as you can go. And I don't care if you spend the rest of your life getting those degrees. If you're not living and preaching according to the real word of God and not what man taught you, you are separated. You are doing like the Apostle Paul said, let him be accursed that teach anything other than what I taught you. True wisdom. If I got to build my house on a solid foundation, then why don't you? You tell me you eternally secure and your foundation is rocky, hay, stubble. You can't even stand under no pressure. You have no connection with God. I need you to pray, and you can't even get a prayer through, but you're eternally secure. I have a problem with that. Hello. So they had wisdom, but real true wisdom can only come from God. We have to ask God. We have to ask him for wisdom. We have to ask him to guide our steps, to order our steps in his word every day. We have to ask him to help us make right decisions. Because sometimes we make the wrong decisions. We mess up and we blame everybody else when things go wrong. But we have to ask God first. Sometimes we make decisions, then we go to God. What? You should have came to me in the first place. Hello? Avoid a lot of the stuff that we do. We can avoid that stuff if we go to God first. Like my grandson once told his granddaddy, he said, I'm going to show you how to box. And he said, he played around with it a little bit. He didn't want to, you know, get into no boxing. So he said, well, what you going to do when you get into a fight? He said, I avoid those situations. You're going to have to avoid the devil's situations. And the only way you can do that is in God. Hello? If we don't avoid those decisions, we allow God to make decisions for us, we're going to be fooled, because everybody got an opinion. Everybody got a view. Everybody know better than you do what's right for you. You don't study the word of God and get to know the word of God for yourself, everybody else is going to lead you astray, separated from God. You can't do it because your friends are doing it. You can't do it because mom and dad and brother and sister. Jesus said, I came to set father against son, mother against daughter. Come on, somebody. Family against family. Why? Because daddy ain't going to want to do it, but you going to want to do it. And the one that follow me going to have to break off from daddy because he said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. I don't care what my friends' opinions are. If it don't line up with the word of God, I like you. We're good buddies, and I'm going to keep praying for you, but I got to keep it moving. Be concerned about your own soul salvation, and then pray for them. Don't let nobody pull you in, too. And the Spirit of the Lord was quickening in my prayer time yesterday that when I saw the gates of hell doing this here, and the road to heaven was going in. Because remember the scripture say many are going to find the gate that lead everybody to hell. But the road to heaven is getting narrow and narrow because ain't many people want to go there. So many people, I'm going because that's in them. And you know, we had together, we grew up together, and you know, we was buddies from way back when. So I'm going that route, I'm going with them. Hello. If mama go, you better pray for mama, and you better stay on the right road and pray that God bring mama with you. But if she don't, you better keep it moving. Hello, because the Bible says it's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of them sitting up wailing my teeth together. Because they ain't going to be it don't ever stop. Hello? And so if we go to 19 and 23. It says, after God chastens Egypt, they would turn from worshiping idols and back to the true and the living God. And this is what Isaiah saw. All of this stuff that they're going to go through. Egypt is going to be chastened, and chastens mean to do what? To beat, right? To whip them, or not beat. I don't say beat because it sounds, you know, harsh. But yeah, beat. To pull them back in line, to chastise them, to get them in order so they can fall back in line with God. So once they're chastened, once they go through, they stop worshiping their idols and they turn back to the living God. This is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take to get them back to God. Some of your testing that you go through, some of your rebuke that you go through is because you got to get back. God is getting you back to him, pulling you back. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that loves us so much that he's going to do whatever it takes to keep us with him. Amen. Some people just want to go to hell, and no matter what God do or anybody else do, all your prayers, you know, they don't care. They just, oh, you know, they're just on their way. But they are those that really have a heart for God, and they really want to go, like the remnant that Isaiah spoke about when he said a remnant is going to be saved. And then when God destroyed all of Jerusalem and all of Israel and all of Judah, when God destroyed all of them, there is going to be a remnant. And those are the few that's going to turn back to him. I don't know about you, but I do want to be the remnant. I don't want to be the one that don't turn back to him. We're living in a time now where the words of God and the prophecies of God are being relived even today. People are walking away, I mean totally, completely walking away from the church. They tell me pastors are shutting their churches down by the thousands. People are walking, and we know people are walking away by the thousands. Churches are closing by the hundreds of thousands. Folk don't care no more. People are backsliding, going back out there doing what they were doing, like a dog going back to his vomit. You ever seen a dog throw up and lap it back up? I've seen it. It's disgusting. Would you throw up and lap it back up? I don't think so. But that's what happens when you go back in sin. The Bible says like a dog throwing up and lapping it back up again. So Isaiah even prophesied that amazingly, Israel's oppressors, the people that oppressed them, Egypt and Assyria, they're going to turn and unite together to worship God. Hello. Even the enemies that say there ain't no God, is he walking around talking about atheists? I never thought I'd see the day when black folk would say they're atheists. Hello. Never thought, because there was a time in this country all we had was prayer. All we had was worship of God. When they stole our parents, our forefathers, and brought them over here, and made slaves out of them. They started worship. They came over there from worshiping those voodoo dolls or whatever the case. And then they found Christ through the missionaries from England. And that's all they had after that. They even started writing spiritual songs that would communicate to each other what they needed to do to get their freedom. That's how they communicated, even by spiritual songs and hymns. They call them Negro spirituals. We don't sing them no more. We like to sing songs that make us bop and, you know, do all this other stuff. Not songs that really touch the heart. But that's all we had. We ain't have nothing but God. Until Moses, Harriet Tubman, freed as many as she can, put her life on the line. People beat her senseless. And she was blind in one eye. But they beat her senseless. But she didn't care. I'm going to save as many people as I possibly can. You think Moses of the Bible went through? This woman really went through. And we don't even talk about that. Our children don't talk about it. We don't ring that in the ears of our children. Because they go along thinking that everything is cool and it's not. Did you see the story on TV today about the policeman that shot this black? We've seen too many of our black young men face down in the dirt, dead. And this man dead, he shot him 8 times and he don't put handcuffs on him. Now that's somebody that don't have no regard for human life whatsoever. This was an animal to him, not a human being. He did not see him as a human being. Hello. And we're living in that time now. When our advocate, these people better cry out to God because he's our only advocate. Jesus is our only advocate to save us from destruction because these people don't care nothing about us and our people. And they come up with excuses after you done killed my child. We're living in that time now. Black folk better come back to God and quit playing. And start serving God with your whole heart. I got mothers calling me and telling me their sons this and their son that. When I told you way back when to do dust, 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 and dust with your child, to keep them in the church, to do this and that, you did otherwise. Now, what do you expect? You reared them like that. That's how you brought them up. That could have been avoided. Granted, sometimes we keep our kids in the church and they still go astray. But at least you had a hindrance there. They ain't have nothing to fall back on. They don't have nothing to tell them, do not, because they don't remember nothing. Nothing was planted on the inside of them. Except word be planted on the inside of you. You don't have nothing to block you. You don't have a stopper. So you can go ahead and do whatever it is that your body want to do. So after God chastens them. And so all the oppressors are going to come together and begin to worship the living God. And this is going to come true in that day, in the day of Christ's reign. All those. The Bible says when he come, every knee's going to bow and what? Every tongue confess. So I don't care who you are. You're going to bow and confess that Jesus is the Lord. It might be too late. You might say, ooh, they told me he was Lord. Too late now. Amen? Should have done it before. In verse 19 and 20, let me read this. I'm going to just read 20 a little bit. It says, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a savior and a great one. And he shall send them a savior and a great one. And he shall deliver them. When Egypt calls on God for help, he will send a savior to